Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy and the chapter 18, the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we will read together from verse 9 of this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 18. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God, in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. And we know that God will bless the reading of this, his own infallible truth. Now, in last week's study, which was entitled Satan and Demonic Activity, it was pointed out that while Satan and his hosts are doomed to eternal wrath, they are still active in this world. They continue to operate and they vent their wrath against the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over there in Revelation 12 we have verses that really make clear to us the agenda of the devil in this New Testament age. Revelation 12 verse 13. It says, And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And then verse 17. In between you have other details, but go down to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is a reference to the agenda, as I put it, the agenda of Satan during the New Testament era. It is that of making war. It is that of persecution. It is that of resisting, as it says here, the woman and her seed. This is the church and her members. This is the these are the Lord's people, and the devil is busily engaged in making war against the people of God. He is portrayed under that kind of imagery here in these verses. So there is no doubt but that the powers of darkness are presently and constantly wrestling against the Lord's people. Now, we noted last week that one of the main ways in which Satan and his demons militate against the church is by spreading false teaching, by spreading error. I want you to go with me again to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we want to look at those verses for a little time again today as we deal with the doctrine of demons, as we find that very language there in 1 Timothy 4 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron," and so on and so forth. Now, these verses provide a clear revelation of the activity of demonic powers in New Testament times. This is what we need to notice. Paul here is speaking of New Testament times. He's speaking of a future point, considering the day in which he lived. He says, in the latter times, that is, in times to come beyond his own day and age. So he's talking about our days, and days even right from his own time onwards into the whole New Testament age. And he shows us here that demonic activity is not comprised of possession of individuals, but the promotion of false teaching. We should pay careful heed to that. I will say a little maybe about demonic possession in a moment or two, but right here we're being shown what really marks demonic activity in the New Testament age. It is the promotion of false teaching. That is the agenda of Satan in this day and generation. Now notice in verse 1, in relation to the great departure from the faith, that Paul clearly teaches there in verse 1 that some depart from the faith because they are deceived by what he calls seducing spirits. Now, that term refers actually to the presence of false teachers, false prophets in the visible church who are under the control of these seducing spirits. I want you to turn to 1 John right now for just a moment or two as a cross-reference. 1 John chapter 4. And look with me there at the opening verse. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." And then he says this, "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now John here gives us a reason as to why we are to try the spirits. And the fact is that there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. So he links the two together. He does talk about spirits, and obviously he's talking there about the world of the supernatural. He's talking about a world that is not merely physical or fleshly. He's talking about the other world, so to speak, as we often call it, in the sense of the world of the supernatural and the unseen and so on, the invisible. And yet he shows us that the only way that we can try the spirits is by having discernment concerning false prophets. He says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And what he's therefore saying is that these false prophets are obviously under the control of other spirits, of powers that are supernatural. This is the inference of this particular verse. These false prophets are on a mission of sowing error, spreading falsehood. They're called false prophets. That's their agenda, to sow error, to spread lies, to produce and to promote false doctrine. And therefore, we are shown here that there's this connection between the false prophet and another spirit, you might say. A spirit that impels him, that controls him, that drives him. John makes this very clear here in this kind of language. Now go back then to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And when Timothy, or when Paul says here that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, he is talking about the same situation. These seducing spirits would be a reference to those supernatural beings, and I am saying to you that they are, the reference is therefore to fallen angels who are demons, as we have seen in these studies, who are unclean spirits. And when it says here, some shall depart from the faith, there you have the false prophets again. There in view in this verse, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. There you have people, men, who depart from the faith. And it goes on to say that they give heed to seducing spirits. So you have these seducing spirits. You have, again, apostates or false prophets energized by these seducing spirits, but also linked with what's called doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons. Now, the grammatical structure of this term, doctrines of demons, indicates not doctrines about demons, but doctrines that emanate from demons. That's the meaning of the language. So when you bring it all together, what you're looking at here in this first verse of 1 Timothy 4 is people who have departed from the faith and who have been seduce themselves by these seducing spirits and who are involved in the promotion of what are called doctrines of devils, that is, doctrines that originate from the demons themselves. And we're actually been shown here, therefore, that demons are busy in the visible church producing and fomenting teaching that is unscriptural, it's a departure from the faith, it is an undermining of the gospel. You think of the same, you'll see the same kind of language in James 3, if you look at verse 15, just as an example here of a parallel verse, James 3:15, he says, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." Now notice the word devilish there. It really reads in the original language demonic. And therefore James is talking about demonic wisdom. And he's therefore speaking of wisdom or teaching that emanates from demons. This is the sense of the language here. Wisdom that is demonic. We're being shown, brethren and sisters, that demons have the ability to produce and to spread teaching or doctrines, wisdom of this kind that is designed and is for the purpose of infiltrating the church and causing error and causing falsehood and causing a falling away. So 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 in predicting this great apostasy from the faith shows that it's actually brought about by false prophets who are motivated by seducing spirits who imbibe and promote doctrines that are of a demonic source. This is very solemn language. And we need to notice carefully what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Now, notice something that's really encouraging. If you think about this verse carefully. And that is, demons cannot deceive someone while that person abides in the truth. You notice here, in this verse again, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice that their departure from the faith, in a sense, precedes their seduction by demonic doctrine. And the inference, therefore, is that the Word of God is our bulwark. It is our safeguard against the doctrines of demons. Notice again the language there where it says, giving heed. giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And those words, giving heed to, are the translation of one word in the original text that means to hold the mind toward. In other words, to lean toward. And what Paul is describing here is men who begin to lean the mind away from truth and toward error. But the inference is that as long as a person abides in the truth and remains in the truth, he or she is safe from the doctrines of demons. The doctrines of demons will only be accepted or received or taken on board by someone who begins to depart from the faith and begins to listen to this kind of stuff. False teaching, error, whatever it might be. As long as we abide in the truth, then we are preserved from the doctrines of demons, from that activity that is designed to deceive and to seduce the soul away from the Word of God and the truth of God. But that expression, to hold the mind toward, indicates that these people open up their minds to demonic teaching simply because they begin to shift away from God's Word. How often this has happened down through the course of time. What happens is, for example, someone in a Bible college or a seminary comes along and he begins to put a doubt over, say, the inspiration of Scripture, or over the deity of Christ, or some other fundamental truth, over the atonement. You will find that that's where the devil always attacks. He attacks the inspiration of the Bible. He attacks the person of Christ. He attacks the work of Christ, the atonement through the shedding of the blood. He always attacks in those areas. And once a person begins to have a doubt in his mind about inspiration of Scripture or the deity of the Lord or whatever, that person has started to shift away from truth. That person is beginning to lean toward the doctrines of demons and is in danger. Now, of course, the Bible teaches that if a person is one of the elect of God, he's never going to be totally deceived. Oh yes, an elect person can be sidetracked and can entertain some of these ideas, but if he's a child of God, and he is a child of God, he's one of the elect, he's never going to be totally deceived. The person who finally departs never was saved, never knew God. But the point is, it is the Word of God that keeps the elect. It's the truth that keeps the child of God from entertaining and being deceived by these doctrines of demons. As soon as your mind hears something that just doesn't ring true, if you're a child of God, the alarm bells go off. And you know there's something not right here. I remember when I was in America, I came to know this little old lady. She's now with the Lord. A godly, godly woman. And she had no theological training, but she knew her Bible. She read the Bible. And I remember one day I was visiting her and we were chatting about a certain person who was on the radio a lot, on Christian radio, supposedly. And she said, oh, as soon as that man comes on, I switch him off. I said, why? She says, there's something doesn't ring true. She couldn't put her finger on it. She just said, I just know there's something wrong with that man. And she was proved to be right. She discerned there was something wrong. Something just not right about his teaching. And there were these little things coming in that just did not tally with the Word. And she had discernment. That's what I mean. The Word of God keeps the child of God. But we are seeing here that in the New Testament era, there is demonic activity of this kind. spreading these doctrines, promoting these doctrines and teachings within the visible church that are a departure from the Word of God and that lead to apostasy and so on. This is the agenda of the devil. Now, the fact that demons are able to infuse false teaching into someone's mind is therefore a solemn warning against the danger of communicating with the demonic world, with the unseen world, and especially, as I say, with the demonic world. In some charismatic circles, there is a misguided emphasis or focus on what's called the exorcism of demons. And it is taught in these circles that demon possession is widespread, and that the exorcism of demons is still part of church ministry. Now, at the moment, or this moment in which I am speaking to you, it's sufficient to state that while there would seem to be demonic activity of that kind, demon possession, in certain parts of the world, it is nowhere near as widespread as the charismatics would try to tell you. Yes, there are places in this world that are given over to darkness, and their godly missionaries have confronted this kind of activity. But I am talking here about charismatics who will tell you that in every part of the world, in every nation, and even right here in our own little country, there's demon possession on a widespread scale. But among those who teach that demon possession is widespread, and as I say, all I'm saying at the moment is it's not nearly as widespread as they will make out. But among those who say it is widespread, there's also the claim that they have a ministry of exorcism. And they further claim that the name of the demon, for example, must be discovered before it can be exorcised, and that the demon's name can only be found out by actually asking the demon. So one charismatic leader is on record as saying this: I never call anything a demon until I've actually talked with the demon. I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit, tell me your name. Then he says, he goes on to cast the demon out. So he claims that he talks to the demon and he finds out its name. Then he exorcises the demon. Now the point is that that behavior is in clear contradiction of the scriptures. It is in disobedience to the Word of God, because the Word of God forbids the child of God to have any verbal interaction with demons, with the powers of darkness. Now, they will say, but did the Lord not address demons? Yes, he did. He addressed them on a number of occasions, you see, in the Gospels. You'll find that the Apostle Paul, in Acts 16, remember he turned and he said to the evil spirit and the young damsel to come out of her, and in a sense he addressed the demon. But what we've got to remember, as we've seen this actually in the study in the miracles, those were sign miracles. And therefore, the matter of addressing demons was integral to the sign miracles that were wrought by Christ and by the apostles, but were an authentication of the Lord's Messiahship and a proof of the gospel message. Those sign miracles signified that the Lord had come to destroy the works of the devil. But those scriptures do not permit me or anyone else, after the apostolic age closed and the sign miracles have ceased, they do not permit me or anyone else to hold conversation between myself and a supposed demon. Because the Word of God, as I say, tells us not to do that. We have read today from Deuteronomy. Turn back, please, to Deuteronomy. And look there at Deuteronomy chapter 18, where we read earlier. And these verses, 10 to 12, contain one of a number of Old Testament prohibitions of any kind of involvement with demons or with evil spirits. We should notice here that to practice contact with demons is to turn away from the Lord, and is really to look for another source of revelation. This is what is involved here in what Moses says. He speaks here of being forbidden to contact spirits and demons and so on in the context of God giving revelations. Look, it's very important to notice that this warning here is followed immediately by a promise of Christ the prophet. Look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren. Why does the Lord bring that in? Having just said you're not to do after the abominations of the heathen, you're not to do all these things that are mentioned here, we'll get back to this in a moment or two. Why does he suddenly then say, I raise you up a prophet? Because he's talking here about the matter of receiving information and revelation. And what he's actually warning, therefore, is that those who practice this foolish thing of trying to contact the spirit world are in danger of receiving revelation or teaching that comes right out of hell. And the Lord says, I'll give you a prophet. And he's pointing us right away, you see, to the Lord Jesus Christ. To contact demons is to seek revelation from another source. It is therefore to deny God's word and the sufficiency of God's word. Turn now to Isaiah 8 before I go any farther in Deuteronomy. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. It says there, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that are familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living, to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now in verse 19, the Lord through Isaiah speaks of a situation where God's people will be encouraged to seek after those who have familiar spirits and those wizards that peep and that mutter. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the very same thing as Deuteronomy 18. He's talking about that unseen world of devilry and darkness. And as you well know, there is a very unhealthy, prevalent interest in that world always. No matter what generation it is. People, it's because they're deceived. I'm going to say for some reason. Well, that's the reason they're deceived. They're blinded. And they ignore God's word, but they'll listen to some of the greatest drivel ever you heard that some, as I said the other week, some old witch conjures up. They'll listen to it. And they'll believe it. And they'll act upon it. Because the heart of man is dark. Oh yes, we still have these people who supposedly contact dead loved ones, that's the kind of familiar practice that goes on in our day and generation. They'll go along to one of these people and say, will you contact so and so? And this person will then say, yes, I have now contacted your granny or whoever it might be, and I want to hear what you have to say to me. You know what's going on? It's the devil. The devil pretending to be that person's loved one who's passed on, because God says that when a person dies, that's it. There's no contact anymore with this world. There's a great gulf fixed. There's no contact. But people will claim, oh, we got a message and we heard voices and we saw lights and all the rest of this. What is this? This is the devil at work. Maybe someone's imagination, but it's not all that. It's the devil at work. Powers of darkness. Those who peep and mutter, who enter into this realm and they deceive multitudes. And the Lord tells us here in Isaiah chapter 8, the problem is, if people would only listen to my word, they would get the truth. They would get that which will really enlighten their minds and their hearts and their souls. Now go back to Deuteronomy 18, please. And notice from this passage that direct communication with the demonic world is an abomination to God. It says there in verse 9, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Then immediately starts to talk about these kinds of situations. As it talks in verse 10, toward the latter end of the verse, "Those who use divination, those who are observer of times, an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." Now, this is dealing with demonic activity, obviously. And the Lord says it's an abomination. And that word abomination means detestable, the original Hebrew word. It means detestable, loathsome, or disgusting. Here's how God describes the unseen world of darkness. It is detestable. It is loathsome. It is disgusting. You remember how the New Testament talks about the unclean spirit? Why does God call demons unclean spirits? Because they're loathsome. What he's actually telling us here is that demons are vile in their nature. They are full of hate, they are full of subtlety, they are full of deadly danger. We are therefore forbidden to have any contact with them, because they are loathsome. They are an abomination to God. And God therefore tells His people here not to even allow that kind of situation to arise within the nation of Israel. He forbids any contact with the world of darkness. When you read these words here, you'll find that if we had time to study the Hebrew words, the original words, they refer to those things that are still going on. Seances and spiritism. Indeed, the word for wizard in verse 11 means spiritist. And it refers to practices like clairvoyance and fortune telling and all the rest of it. These modern day practices, that is, in the sense that they're still going on, my dear friend, God knew about them long ago. God told Israel to have nothing to do with this. Consulters with familiar spirits and charmers and diviners and all the rest of it, has nothing to do with this, because this is the world of darkness. Now the lesson that is to be learned here is, with regard to this prohibition, that we're not to have anything to do with this, touch it or entertain it, is that once a person does, that person's mind has been opened up to being deceived. That's what's going on. Because, as I just said there, you will be told, well, we can contact a dead loved one for you, if you want to find out where that person is or what's going on right now in his or her life, we will be able to tell you. And then they come up with this story. And the whole thing, you see, is, well, as I said a while ago, it could just be a fabrication by the person who's pretending to contact the dead. That certainly, I believe, does go on. But at the same time, there are those who will claim, as I said, they've heard voices, they've seen these things happen. What is all this? This is the devil. The devil has the power to produce these sensations or feelings or experiences and thereby deceive people. Because when they have these experiences, you will find that they immediately entertain beliefs that are complete contradiction to the Bible, especially with regard to death and what comes after death. They will say that the greatest rascal is now living in a land of beauty and light and all this kind of talk. And it's designed to deceive souls and cause people to be turned away from the reality of damnation, dying impenitent and being lost forever. This is what this is all about. It's designed to deceive, and therefore God does prohibit clearly and plainly here in his word any contact with the unseen world, with the spirit world. He shows how dangerous it is. He shows how great a deception there will be. He shows that the child of God is to abide in the truth. The Lord has given us the prophet, that is Christ. We have his word. We have that revelation through him that is inspired and infallible and is designed to show us all that we know, need to know, about ourselves, about our salvation, about eternity. And therefore, when Paul talks in 1 Timothy 4 about the doctrines of demons, he is referring to a situation that indeed is filled with great danger, and that the Church of Jesus Christ must studiously avoid. And we must abide in the truth that the Lord has given to us as we find it in his own precious word. I trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to us today again, and that we will indeed be a people who are warned and alerted concerning that activity that still is so prevalent, and that the Lord will keep us by his word, by his power. Let's all bow together, please, before God, and let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee this day for the privilege of gathering here. We thank thee that we may study thy word and thereby learn clearly, unmistakably those things that the Lord would have us to avoid. O Lord, we pray today that thou wilt keep us from that world of darkness. Help us to abide in the truth. Help us, Lord, to fill our minds with God's word. Help us, O Lord, to be preserved thereby from falsehood and error in teaching that is a departure from thy word. And may we go on with thee and be able to resist the devil and the powers of darkness in our own time and in our own generation. Abide with us now and bless us together in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.